I'm going to start at a different angle this morning. Normally, when people say, no, most of you probably know me, but a lot of times they said, but this is my name and I'm married for so long. I want to just change it a bit. I said, my name is Andre, you know myself and Jenny, but I've actually been engaged for, I'm going to take it a little bit further back, for 34 years, 1 month and 3 days. So just to take it a bit back, different from what normal people do, they say I'm married for this. So I'm glad for the Lord and thank you for you, but just thank you for the Lord Jesus for the opportunity to be married to Jenny for so long and just to serve Him for even longer. So that's just an amazing privilege. So this morning, it's what's on my heart to preach about, and when I was preparing a while ago, the Lord just said this whole thing. I mean, He said, "But we're all slaves. You're a slave." And He took me to Romans 6. And if you look at Romans 6, you guys that read the Bible, it says Romans 6 talks a lot about you're a slave or maybe a slave or something. And at the end, you can maybe just go back to that first picture that I've got there. So to start off, I would like to look at two types of slaves. And it's not necessarily that it's bad slaves. So this is the first one. I don't know if you could recognize that picture. So this is the Israelites in Egypt, which was enslaved. So what type of slavery was this? This was enforced slavery. So they hadn't had a choice. They were born into that as well. And that a lot of slave drivers as well. So there was no choice. People would just, so this is the first type of slavery that you get. I just want to bring it a bit back and then I'll go to what the word says. And as long as they were in Egypt, they would be that slaves because they were born into it. But they had an only way for them to get out of Egypt or get out of slavery was to get out of Egypt. So that's the one side of it. And then there's the second picture. I'm going to put a disclaimer if you put a second picture. I like exercise. But sometimes exercise is also a good thing. And this is a picture where I was, where we was yesterday with my daughter was, but at High Rocks. But exercise is a positive one for me. So that's a second type of almost, I'm going to put it a slave, but this is a voluntary slavery. And this is the difference you get. But this voluntary slavery can become functioning that you like so much and you enjoy it so much that you want to be, you want to do it. And a lot of you know me, I like exercise as well. Doesn't look always like that, but I like exercise. And what happens with that exercise is if you get to a point, you just want to exercise, you want to exercise. And that's where I mean, if we talk about this, that it's enslaving you. But it's a good enslaving. And sometimes even if you look at this, people will even be goes as far that they will prepare to make sacrifices for it. I know these guys that exercise 5 o'clock or 5:30 in the morning. These other guys that do this and pay money to this. Because so that's the other thing. So, but it's a good enslaving at the end of the day. So the difference between these two, picture one and two, you can maybe just flip between the two. But the difference between that is with the first one, just go back to the other one, there's a slave master. And if he doesn't do what that slave master says, you're in big trouble. And you will just get more work and more work and more work, and you'll be more enslaved. The second one, there's also maybe a slave master, but it's not a slave master that puts work on you. It's there, your consequences for the second one is when you want to obey, there's rewards. So that's the second one. So that's just my picture to start before we get to the scripture that you can put on now. There's two types of slavery. And this is what the Bible talks about it as well. And if you look at Romans 6, I'm going to read from verse 12 to 23. And the title of my preach this morning, Whose Slave Are You? And that's what I want to just get to that. So if you look at Romans 6, verse 12 to 23, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey the passions. Do not present your members, and this is your body, to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that at whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks to God that you were once were slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slave of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For such as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members, your body, basically, as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were once a slave of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and it ends eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but a free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you look at it, if you look at it now. So firstly, my friends, I want to just maybe make a clear statement here. I just want to say that the question is not, am I a slave? And I think we see it clearly out of that, but whose slave are you? I think that's the important thing, to recognize whose slave are you. And I think we need to be clear about ourselves and honest when we say that. So according to Romans 6, you can either be a slave of sin or a slave of God. It talks about righteousness, and the court of God is to say that sort of is the same. So there's no middle ground. Some people like to take the middle ground. Sometimes say, then if in the middle ground, I'm safe. Either on the one side or the other side. I think that's the important thing to know. So you are slaves of the one we obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. I just reiterated what verse 16 says. So that is what we are. So just want to firstly look at, I want hopefully not to spend too much time on it, but let's firstly look at what it means to be a slave of sin, because I think we need to recognize that side as well, or probably most of you in the room here, maybe it's already on the other side, I believe all of us on the other side, most of us, but we need to go and see what exactly does it mean to be a slave of sin. And this is man's natural condition. So when we were born, because of what happened with Adam and Eve, we all are born into sin, and that's a natural condition. So Romans 3:23, and I haven't given that to you, I just want to read it from myself here. Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and have fallen short to the glory of God. This is what Scripture says. And just to highlight what David Paulson said, some of the guys like David Paulson as well here, but he said, sin is not just wrongdoing. It's a master that demands your obedience. That's what sin is. And we sometimes play with sin, and we'll get to that. So let's look at different things, or we can call it sin, that can enslave us. And I've got quite a comprehensive list, and that's not all. But while I'm reading through this, and I'll give scriptures to all of those of you who are making notes, but let's run through that. And then we can go from there. So if you look at it, the things that can enslave us, and what does sin want to do? It wants to firstly control you. And the scripture there to look at is John 8:34, where it can also blind you. And that's 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 is a scripture that we can do there. And you can maybe just bring that scripture off me, 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, in the case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So this is what happens. This is what the enemy does to blind us. So let's look at a few. I've got a few. So the first one to look at, I call it, and you'll recognize some of this, is unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, hatred. This is the first thing that can enslave us. And a scripture there, I'm not going there, is Ephesians 4:31, for those who might make notes. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. This is what that scripture says. It's important. Second one, okay, that's now, just want to quote John Piper here as well in that first one. Interesting, because of this amazing thing when I read this. He said, unforgiveness is self-imprisonment. Listen to this. Unforgiveness is self-imprisonment. The key is always in your hand, and that's grace. Second one, and Charles Spurgeon said as well, he said, he who holds a grudge is chained to the past by his own will. This is what unforgiveness does. This is what, and then the second one. So unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, it can bind you in so much that you actually bind yourself do that you don't want to that you forgiveness or forgive people. The second one, money and materialism. It's always wrong. Money's not wrong, but what do you do with money? How important is money in your life? How important is materialism in your life? A scripture there to back it up is Matthew 6, verse 24, which says, no one can serve two masters. So you can either love the one, other one, you'll give more attention to the other one. So that's the second thing that can enslave you. The third one, this is the one I run through this, is addictions. And we're addicted to a lot of stuff. So I'm just going to mention a few. It's not an exhausted list. But alcohol, technology can enslave you. Social media, guys, can enslave you as well. And if you spend more time on social media and technology than on God, then you're actually enslaved to that. Sometimes I don't want to hear it, but that's what it is. And then some of the bad things he goes, well, drugs, substances, food, gambling, etc. So all of those things is things that it's addictions that can enslave us and that keep us away from God. And next one is pride, vanity, control, self-righteousness. We can list all of that in one group. And there we've got 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 to 4. And you can put that scripture up for me. Oh, you're brilliant. Thanks, Madine. You're well at the back. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpeaceable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen, with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's one of the things that enslave us, all these things. The next one, and if you also look at that same one where pride came in, if you look at Lucifer, what was Lucifer's big fall? The same man. If you look at, also for you that makes notes, Isaiah 14, verse 13 to 14, they talk about Lucifer that fell from heaven because of his pride. He wanted to be bigger than God. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 also say, God opposes the proud. That's why pride is such a crucial thing, and we must guard our hearts against it. Crucially, next one, fear and anxiety. Romans 8:15, it says, fear replaces trust in God. And next one, fear of man. There's a difference between fear and fear of man. Fear of man and worldly approval. That's another one. And there, Galatians 1 verse 10. You can just give that to me. Thank you. For I am not now seeking the approval of man. Or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. It speaks for itself. Pleasure and entertainment. Not a bad thing. Again, over-pleasant. What does pleasure and entertainment do compared to your relationship with God? And there, 2 Timothy 3 verse 4. I'm not going to read it, but it says lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's what 2 Timothy 3 verse 4 says. Then a big one, I think, that a lot of people struggle with, sexual immorality and lust. And 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, for you who make notes. Flee from sexual immorality. Again, referring to Charles Spurgeon, he said, the lustful man is a slave whose chains grow tighter with every look. And then I want to go back, maybe, I don't know if you guys know, a church leader of way back, 3rd century, I think, Augustine. He was a learned and a well-respected teacher of rhetoric in the city of Milan in the 4th century. But he was tormented, and I think a lot of guys struggle with this, he was tormented over the condition of his soul. By his own admission, he had lived a sexually promiscuous life. And one day, when he was 32 years old, he's still young. That's what I start meaning by that. He's still young, and there's people even younger. But he was 32. He was tormented about this, and he threw himself to the ground. It's not that he just went to kneel like we went to kneel now. He threw himself to the ground. What did he say? And of the garden, so it's in the garden of his friend at this stage. He threw himself to the ground and amid the river of tears. So he started crying. And he kept crying out, and he said, "O thou, O Lord, how long, O Lord, wilt thou be angry unto the end? Remember not our former iniquities." And while he was weeping, Augustine heard as a voice of a child from the neighboring residence, and the words that the child repeatedly chanted, and I'll be speaking, I pronounce it correctly, he said, "Tole lege," Italian word. Sê tolle legge, tolle legge. And what if you translate it? It means take, read. Take, read. So what he did, he ran back and he took his Bible and he opened up his Bible and his Bible opened up at Romans 13, verse 13 to 14. I'll just read it here from the front where he read, let us walk properly as in the daytime and not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Okay, we're almost done with this list. Tradition, religion, without Jesus Christ. We can get so caught up in tradition and in religion that Jesus is not part of that. That's something that enslaves us. It blinds us for what Jesus wanted to do in our lives. Scripture there to back it, to back that is Mark 7 verse 8. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And then second law, there's also one, workalism and performance. Nothing wrong to work. But you can just so spend your time on work and a lot of other things. Then end of the day, it takes the place of God in your life. And a scripture to back it up, maybe, I don't know if you know the book Ecclesiastes, but Ecclesiastes 2, verse 22 to 23. And there, idolatry and false religion, Exodus 20, where it says, you shall have no other gods before me. So idolatry is anything you trust or love more than God. While we're busy this morning, think, is there anything that's more important than God in my life? And just the last one on the list on this part, before we get to the good news, is the demonic influence. 2 Timothy 2 verse 26. Satan enslaves us through lies and deception. So this is the list of the things that can enslave us. There's more. We haven't got time to go through all of them, and I would love to do a lot more. But the good news, you can put up Romans 6:22 for me again, please. The good news about Romans 6:22 is there's freedom through Christ. A changed ownership takes place. So what happens when we accept Jesus Christ as your Lord? So just read it again. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and it ends in eternal life. So with this good news that we receive, there's a change of ownership that takes place. Remember I said we were born in sin? A change of ownership happens. And Paul describes this, we have been set free in sin, has become slaves of God. And that's where the term slaves of God comes in. And another person that, just something I read about, Sam Storms, also a well-known theologian, he said that being a slave of God is not a negative or oppressive thing, state, but rather a glorious and liberating one. It means recognizing that we are not our own, but belong to Jesus Christ. And that our lives should be lived in submission to Him. Understanding leads to authentic freedom, and you enjoy as we align our world to God. So going back to my first picture right in the beginning, we had one side where we were enslaved by things that if you don't do that, it will just enslave you more. The other one was a slave of freedom, where we'd use the exercise as an example. Which you want to do. Now, this is, we could look at voluntary slaves, because this is what you do voluntarily to get to a better point. With the exercise to be in a better position of your body, this one is where we actually serve Jesus and moving also voluntary slaves on that side. But the beauty of this is as well, we talk about slaves, and sometimes slaves, thinking of the word slave, even if it's a positive, like in this sense, it can be, have a negative connotation. But the other word for slave in this perspective where we talk about is children of God, sons and daughters of God. That's what it means. So let's look at the beauty of that. So the characteristics of a slave or a servant or a child of God or of righteousness. And I've got a few. The first one, and you can now start, you can just put the first slide up for us. So the first one, we are a new creation of a new DNA. The next one, go to the next one as well. Okay. So because we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, we're a new creation, a new DNA. So something's inside have changed. This is what happens. And if in the day you'll see if something changes on the inside, it will change on the outside as well. So the scripture there, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, And for anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And even Galatians 2:20, but we'll read it a bit later. So, and again, a comment from John Piper. It was so beautiful. I needed to share it this morning as well. The miracle of the new birth is not that you have new obligations, but you have new desires. And then he said, with that, he said, you're not only legally new, you're actually new. Huge difference. New birth gives us not just forgiveness, but a new heart. You're not a patched up sinner, but you're a recreated saint. The second one of the characteristics of a slave of God is obedience. Obedience at every cost, and that's Romans 6:17. I just highlighted the last part of the scripture. I've become obedient from the heart. So we need to start living a life of obedience from the heart, from the inside out. Next one, living in holiness. Sanctification, another word for that. We now hate sin and we desire holiness. So 1 Peter 5, 15 and 16 says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. All your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And there's more scriptures we can actually go to there as well. Holiness is the evidence that we have a new nature. We fight sin not to become children of God, but because we already are. Next one, and the last 2 weeks we've heard about it. 2 weeks ago, Stefan spoke about it, and really also alluded to it last week, is abiding in Jesus, spending time with Jesus, sitting at Jesus' feet. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, you may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame of his coming. We need to spend time, guys. We sometimes have so much excuses that we're busy. Busy with this, busy with that. I need to do this, I need to do that. There's nothing more important than abiding in Jesus, spending time with him. And that's how he changes us. Next one, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. How do you know you're a son of God? You're led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit controls your life in a nice, positive way. And with that, you'll bear the fruit of the Spirit as well. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. It's the fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit controls you, the Spirit loves you, that fruit will come from the Spirit through your life. It's not something you need to produce. The next one, the lifestyle of forgiveness. We previously alluded to unforgiveness as well. We need to forgive like Christ has forgiven. Colossians 3:12 and 13 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Again, example. It's not that you ask us to do something that God doesn't want to do, or that Jesus doesn't want to do. Forgive like he forgave. Next one, just maybe to tell you this as well. One, our new nature is capable of loving the unlovable. That's how we know something changed from the inside. And then I also want to put this somewhere up where we can see it daily. Forgiveness is not negotiable. Because you bind yourself. And next one, hunger for God's Word. We've spoken in the last few weeks. There was a lot of talking about reading God's Word. It's a Bible plan that every month that's sent to us. The importance. We need to get the appetite for God's Word. We need to start reading it. And if you look at this, at Psalm 34, verse 8, which doesn't say, but it says, see, taste and see that the Lord is good. I haven't got the scripture yet, but this is to start reading the scripture. This is what will happen. We'll start seeing God is good. We need to taste it. We need to spend time in the Word. And that's part of the new, of being a slave of Jesus Christ, of God. The next one, the desire for fellowship with believers. Acts 2:42. You all know that, really. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Crucially important for us to fellowship with God and with believers. This is why we do what we do, by coming together here on a Sunday morning. I have com groups on a Wednesday, encouraging you guys to sometimes in the week connect with people. And when you do it faithfully. Not just when you want to and you feel like that. Next one, second last one we will look at is sacrificial living. Romans 12 verse 1. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Living sacrifice. What does a living sacrifice mean? It's not like what the Israelites did in the old, where it was something that they offered and it's gone. Living sacrifice is daily. I'm sacrificing myself. Daily. So this is a daily thing. Lay down your life for God and for others. That's the last one for this before we start concluding. Is spiritual warfare awareness. Which is Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is where our fight is against. My fight is not against Daniel or against Gunther, whoever else here, because he just said something to me, did something to me, or a guy at work that maybe doing something to me, that's not treating me like I wanted to be treated. That's not where my fight is. It's a spiritual fight. So just to start landing, according to Charles Spurgeon, it was also a long time back, he said being a bondservant or a slave is a joyful and a willing slavery to Christ. Not one of harsh compulsion, but wanting to follow Jesus out of love and out of thankfulness for what he has done for me. So slavery in Christ is not actually slavery, it's freedom. And getting back to that initial picture about that exercise, when the better you feel, the more you exercise, almost it's more freedom for you. That's just part of that. So this whole thing. So it's not a compulsive thing that's compulsion. It's a free slavery of Christ. When we become slaves of children of God, we want to make war on sin. We don't want to allow sin in our lives. So if you're here maybe today and you're still allowing sin in your life in any way, we can't entertain it. It's not, then we need to go and repent. Because it's not going to be, this is not what it says about it. Because we can't live with a new DNA on one side and still on the other side entertain sin in our lives. We can't do it. It's not to say that we will not sin anymore. I think that's an important thing as well. All of us sin. It's part of that. But we are not controlled by sin. I think that's an important thing. And another thing that's important, a lot of people will say for you, but I need to be perfect. It's not about perfection, guys. It's not about perfection. It's about sanctification. Sanctification, for those who probably don't know it, it's a process of being made holy and set apart for God's purposes. After justification. So we get justified when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then we start getting in that whole process of sanctification by spending time within His presence, reading the Word, etc., etc. So we are branded by Christ. I think you get that picture. I don't know if you guys know farms, and I know there was guys that went actually on hunting trips and going, but sometimes you'll see this cattle have been branded by a stamp on it. Our stamp that we've been branded with is Jesus Christ. You can't hide it. It will be somewhere. It's a stamp on your body. So that's where the outside comes in. Where our Lord has set His seal, we must not remove it. We cannot remove it. We are His. He's forever. He bought us with a price, guys. He went to the cross to die for each one of our sins. With His blood, owned by His love, ruled by His will. We need to fully surrender ourselves to Him. And I'm not a servant or a child of Christ. I am a servant and a child of Christ. I bear His brand upon my body. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I belong to Christ. So just like before I land, I just want a sort of personal story that I want to go back to in my life. So growing up as a, and maybe you won't believe it, but growing up as a young, and I was a red-headed boy, very red in my hair, etc., etc., I was called a lot of names. In those days, I know that if you were red hair, you were in trouble because the people called you all types of names. As only children can do. And also what happened in my life earlier when I was young, I moved a lot between schools. Always need to make new friends. And also because I'm actually introvert, I struggled. Maybe I was a lot more than now, but I struggled, and this is what God did. But I struggled to make friends. I struggled to even do things like oral in class. I struggled to do it, guys, because of what happened. And then what happened on the 12th of April, 1978. Now, a lot of you guys can't think back so far because you're not as clear as 1978. There is a year like 1978. So, but on the 12th of April, 1978, and for me, you know, now my age, it's 47 years back. I had experience. Something happened in my life where Jesus Christ took hold of me and he changed me and he made me a slave of him. And just to fast forward it a bit, because we thought that we need to run out of time as well. This thing of not thinking good of myself, having red hair, all of that things didn't change immediately. It was something that was still there. So I'm fast forwarding a bit. But when I was in grade 12, the only thing I wanted to do was to serve the Lord full time. I couldn't do it immediately because at that point in time, in our days, there was still 2 years of military service that we needed to do. So I went through military service, came back, and I started my studies as being a full-time pastor. And the Lord at that point in time decided not in that specific institution that I was part of at that point in time. So I moved on and studied some other stuff. Started becoming busy in leading church groups, youth groups, etc., outreaches, all of those type of things I started doing. So this is how the Lord was just evolving it over a period of time. And then, this is the fast track it maybe just to get from there. Since I've been a slave of God, slave of a child of God, and I just want to be radically obedient to him. And I'm not getting it right maybe all the time. But I want to be used in every season of my life according to what God wants me to, where he wants me to, for what he wants me to. For me, it's all about Jesus. All about Jesus and all about him. Nothing and nobody else is more important. Even if you're married for close to 34 years, that's also important. But this is not important as my relationship with Jesus Christ. So just to reiterate, you can, Galatians 2 verse 20, I haven't given the scripture to them just before we land. The scripture there, it says, and it just links into what we just said. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And just the end of the scripture, can you just Romans 6, 11 to 14 for me, please? Thank you. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of right for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. So my question to you today is, maybe just to end up before I ask my questions to you, I think sometimes, or maybe a lot of times, I don't know if you, but I think for each one will differ, we want to call the shots in our relationship with God. That's something I was really, God spoke to me seriously about this. Sometimes we want to call the shots. So I'll decide when I go to church. I'll decide when I read my Bible. I'll decide when I do something good to this person. Guys, it's not for us to call the shots. We the slave, we the child in this. Have you ever imagined take a family where there's young kids? And that young kids start ruling the house. And call the shots and it goes from there. It's not the way it's intended to be. So we need to obey God in everything we need to do. And according to his terms, not in our terms.